The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
And my name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world and puzzled the minds of the very best. Today we'll bring you closure. David, you're up.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I want to do an absolute stone cold classic today, Guy and Gal. is that appropriate?
That's
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to do the mystery of the Mary Celeste.
Yay!
Finally, we got round to it.
You love a boat.
Mm. I do love a boat. What's that about?
Because it's on the sea, and the sea is where you can scuba dive.
Yes. I haven't spoken about scuba diving.
No.
We'll probably get to it.
Yeah, I think so.
So, for the uninitiated, the Mary Celeste was a boat. A brigantine... however you pronounce
it. Do you know what that is?
It's all mine.
It's a particular size of boat.
Great.
But it was an American ship that was found adrift between the Azores and Portugal.
And what is the time?
Portuguese.
The time is the 4th of December 1972.
And what is the brigantine?
The brigantine was similarly.
Yes.
1972.
Yes. 12 knots.
And it was found, an American ship found by a Canadian ship called the De Gratia. I don't know how you pronounce it properly or what language that is.
That'll do.
De Gratia. The De Gratia.
The kids at De Gratia Street. De Gratia Junior High.
Just our little ship.
It was found by those guys.
Yeah.
So it was dishevelled, in a state of dishevelment, the ship, but seaworthy, and under partial sail. So some of the sails were up, but not all of them. And one of the lifeboats was missing. And the last entry in the captain's log was dated 10 days before they found her.
Ooh.
And she had left New York City for Genoa in Italy on November the 7th and was still amply provisioned when they found her, so they hadn't run out of supplies. And her cargo was denatured alcohol, which is what we now know
Yummy.
As meths.
Oh. Mm.
So basically it's making alcohol poisonous, so that you can still use it in industrial reasons, but sailors aren't going to drink it en route.
I get it.
They kept it in the officers' meths.
That's right, in the meths.
Yeah.
I think if a sailor wants to really drink something, he'll just drink it.
That's tramp strip meths. True. Yeah. Isn't a sailor just a sea tramp?
Isn't it? They're technically homeless, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Until they get home, get back to shore.
I mean, we're all homeless until we get home.
That is, whoa.
Christ, that's blown my mind.
Wow, put that on a sunset. Yeah.
Put that on
hits.
A t-shirt and I will sell it.
Can you embroider that into a frame?
Yes.
Lovely.
So the captain's and crew's personal belongings were undisturbed, but none of those who had been aboard were ever heard from again.
Oh my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
So what became of the crew of the Mary Celeste is the question. So there was a salvage hearing in Gibraltar. The captain of the De Gratia split his crew in half, and so
Ow.
Deeply undermanned, both of them made their way back to Gibraltar, because you could get a decent amount of money for salvaging a whole ship and its cargo.
Mm.
But they had to have a hearing to go, has something untoward happened? And the bloke conducting the hearing, called Flood, thought that something seriously untoward had happened.
Yeah.
And there was accusations of maybe a mutiny had gone on, and or maybe the crew of the De Gratia weren't telling the truth, and maybe it was piracy and they'd killed the crew.
We've only got their word.
Exactly, the unreliable narrator. The old unreliable narrator.
Like Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
And
my solution to D.B. Cooper, if we're going back that
Good
way.
Good callback.
And the other accusation was one
Episode
of
one.
Insurance or salvage fraud, where it was even suggested that the two captains were in on it together, and then someone had betrayed someone else. But anyway,
God,
All of these ideas were thrown out because there was no evidence at all.
Yes.
They had very little evidence, and it remains a mystery to this day. Mm. But the captain of the De Grati didn't make much money, and in fact, the accusations followed him around for the rest of his career, and he never... So he shouldn't have bothered helping.
Shouldn't have done.
And that's the lesson,
That's
kids.
The lesson. So I've finished that. I wanted to talk about why no one should help anyone else and how that makes society better, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Because it reduces suspicion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, your hands are always clean.
They're always clean that way. It's the only way to keep them clean. Mm. Interestingly, the Mary Celeste after the hearing, it was eventually resold and was carried on being used until in 1885, her captain deliberately wrecked her off the coast of Haiti in an attempt at insurance fraud. So it was potentially...
Did he get the money?
I don't believe so.
Oh, dear.
As people know, it was insurance fraud, so I assume...
Yeah.
He was the John Darwin, the canoe man of his day.
Yes. God, do you remember that?
Yeah. I do remember that.
That's my favourite story ever.
It's a great story. Mm. I think we already talked about it on here.
Why haven't they done a film of it?
They will.
Who would play Canoe Man?
I'll play Canoe Man.
You know who definitely should?
That's how open castings go. The first person to burst into the room gets it.
I have to remember that. I think it should
be... Yeah, who should it be?
Your man from Wolf Hall. What's his name?
Mark
Rylance. Yeah.
I think of him as the sack from Bing, but sure.
he would be a good canoe man. Yeah. Who would play the wife?
That would be... Brenda Blethyn.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, why not? Mm. And who would play the sad sons who thought their dad was dead?
Bross. One of them's an actor.
Yeah. In dungarees. Bross in dungarees. To youth them.
Yeah.
So to delve deeper into the Mary Celeste. The character we are truly interested in is the captain of any ship. Because, you know, what he says goes.
Captain Birdseye. Right. All the greatest captains.
Captain Crunch.
Hook.
Captain Hook.
Captain Rum.
Captain
Morgan.
Captain Morgan.
He's the rum guy. Yeah, he's the rum guy.
Captain Blackbeard.
Yeah, he was a pirate, wasn't he?
Real pirate.
Captain Bluetooth. No, he was a Viking.
No, he's a electronic device. Thing.
You're right, I'm thinking of an electronic device.
Captain USB.
Captain Corelli's mandolin.
Yeah.
They're very strange named.
He should have stopped after Corelli.
Corelli.
Before they the didn't. S and the mandolin.
Captain, my captain.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Anyway, so what was his deal?
So he was called Benjamin Briggs. And he was born in Massachusetts to a naval family. His dad was a sea captain, and most of his brothers became. He was an observant Christian. He read the Bible a lot, so good guy is what we're thinking. And like all observant Christians from Massachusetts, he married his cousin Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah Cobb.
You are Sarah Cobb.
He married into the Cobb millions.
Did he?
I've got no evidence of that.
Call him a Cobb.
From the corn cob millions. They never got beyond the corn. They never reinvented the cob.
Because he fell out with Ian Corn.
That's right.
And
it's all adding up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They honeymooned aboard his boat, I found quite funny.
So like a busman's holiday.
They went to the Med, so it would be sort of like sunny.
But Ibiza.
His boat was called Forest King. He's misunderstood boats.
Completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had two kids, Arthur and Sophia. And in 1872, Benjamin Briggs invested his savings in getting a partial share of the Mary Celeste, which was majority owned by a guy called James Winchester. And he'd just spent $10,000 in making it bigger and refitting it.
Refurbing it. Like he's taken over a pub.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, he spent a lot on banquettes.
Yeah. Lovely. He's got a karaoke in there now.
Yeah, it's a nice ship.
Yeah.
And so the maiden voyage was to travel to Genoa in Italy, and he arranged to take his wife and youngest child, Sophia, with him, but Arthur was not invited.
Thank God, it turns out.
He said, I'm taking my wife to Italy, and they said, Genoa. He said, of course it is.
Wait, so I didn't know this, so it disappeared on its maiden voyage?
I believe so,
Okay, wow. Interesting.
So, so it was owned by Winchester, and... So Briggs set about getting his crew together.
Yep.
Right? It's the best bit of any story.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Montage.
Or the most predictable, boring bit of any story.
I'm putting a crew together.
So we've got first mate. Right, who's your first choice? Albert G. Richardson.
Oh.
Who he's worked with before, and he's married to Winchester's cousin.
Great.
Trustworthy.
Trust.
Right. Second mate. you've got to go Andrew Gilling, who I've put 25-year-old Danish here, which doesn't sound tasty. But he was 25 and Danish, I see.
But you'd like a Guy Ritchie narration here. He's 25 and he's Danish.
Danish.
He may not look much, but he's got it where it counts.
And he sure knows his way around the reefer.
Danish, you know, I like the pastry.
That's it.
I don't know.
His steward was Edward William Hill. And that was another recommendation from Winchester.
Sounds like a gamble, like the bookies, but he knows what he's doing.
Old Teddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All these actors look very cheap. They've not been in anything else. And then his four general seamen, who he completed the crew with, small crew, were all Germans.
Oh, well, why did you say that from the beginning?
The brothers, Volkert and Boz, and then Arian and Gottlieb.
Gottlieb.
So that's your crew of the Mary Celeste. And in a letter to his mother shortly before the voyage, Briggs declared himself eminently satisfied with the ship and crew, and his wife, Sarah Briggs, informed her mother that the crew appeared to be quietly capable if they continue as they have begun. Which basically means she was threatened by the Germans.
This is like every appraisal I've ever had at work.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Treasure Island? Do you remember how Jim's like, what a lovely crew, and then they all turn out to be pirates?
Yes, and that's because Long John Silver helped with the recommendations of crew.
Yeah.
Just like Winchester helped with the recommendations of this crew.
Yeah, there we go.
And he's a frog, and Billy Connolly died when he gave him the secret.
That's right, the black spot.
That's a great film. Yeah. So good.
Such a good film.
The only person to die in a Muppets film.
Billy Connolly? He didn't really die, did he?
No, he's fine.
Oh, thank God for
that. Yeah. Unless he went just now.
Because I saw him in... Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So, the ship set sail.
Yep.
To complete the story. So it set sail after being at Pier 50 in New York. They load in all of the Mets, and the De Gratia is just up the shore in New Jersey, and they follow on in the same route, which is why they found them.
Okay.
Right, okay.
And so, as the De Gratia draws close with Captain Morehouse, so this is what happened. He could see nobody on the deck, and he received no signal, so he sent DeVeux and his second mate, John Wright, in a ship's boat to go and see. They established there was it was the Mary Celeste because it had the name on the front.
Always a
Simple.
Good clue, yeah.
Then they climbed aboard and they found it deserted. The ship was partly set, as we've said, and in poor condition. Much of the rigging was damaged and ropes were hanging loosely over the sides. The main hatch cover was secure, but the fore and lazarette hatches, which I looked up, it means near the controls, or the big wheel, were open and their covers were beside them on the deck. The ship's single lifeboat, a small yawl, as it was called, had apparently been stowed across the main hatch, but it was missing. While the binnacle housing... I love all these words.
Yeah. Mm.
The binnacle housing, the ship's compass, had shifted from its place and its glass cover was broken. There was about 3.5 foot of water in the hold, which is a significant amount, but not alarming for a ship of that size. Wouldn't have sunk it. A makeshift sounding rod, which is a device for measuring the amount of water in the hold, was found abandoned on the deck. And as we said, the last entry had been 9 days before. But it recorded its position as being 400 nautical miles away from the point where it was found. And there's lots of other little bits of information, like items scattered about and a sheathed sword found under Briggs's bed. But his papers and navigational instruments were gone.
Oh.
So he's presumably taken them with him wherever he's gone.
Because it's sort of like a myth that it was they were discovered with like the food half eaten.
So that all comes from, apparently, Arthur Conan Doyle wrote a story much later where he changed the name to the Mary Celeste, which you may have heard of, and invented a load of old shit.
Yes.
Mm. And so the
which
food...
Which he does a lot.
There was no food dinosaur. On
the deck. He changed the name of the captain and he did all sorts of stuff. But that sort of ended up getting mixed in with all of the things. So... We can go through theories. Do you have any theories at this point?
I do, just because I've seen a documentary about it.
Right.
Oh.
But I'll save it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, shall I go with what people would say?
Yeah.
So at the time, as we've mentioned, insurance fraud came up.
Mm-hmm.
And Winchester being the culprit of said insurance fraud because he had a very large policy on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no... people went, but he didn't make a lot of money, did he? Because there was all of this foul play suspected. In 1931, an article suggested that it was murder by Morehouse.
Murder.
Who could have lain in wait for the Mary Celeste, even though he set off after it. Mm. And then, in a slower ship, and then Lord Briggs and his crew aboard the De Gratia and killed them, which was why there was no show of a scuffle aboard the Mary Celeste.
Oh.
But that didn't happen.
No.
So it didn't, did it? yeah, it's a slower ship.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Conspiracy. Briggs and Morehouse were in on it together. Mm-hmm. Some people suggested that they met for dinner the night before, but then those people had no evidence that that took place, but that maybe they planned some sort of insurance scam together, and then Morehouse betrayed Briggs.
Right.
So I don't know how that would have gone down.
I mean, the thing is, right?
Yeah.
You don't get insurance for just abandoning the boat, do you?
No. So, no, it would have to have sunk.
Yeah.
Or been pirated, or depending on what your insurance is for.
Yes.
If it's just third party,
or run on the rocks,
another ship would have to have accidentally scuffed.
Yeah, it has to be damaged in some way.
Yeah.
Or the cargo has to be gone.
And in which case, you still need to spend that money repairing your ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the fraud to work,
it's a lot of effort. This is why I never get people who do insurance fraud at all.
You've got to disappear, haven't you? Basically, afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and I mean Briggs did disappear.
Yes.
Maybe, but he didn't get the payout because he disappeared. You need to turn up to get the money, don't you?
And is the money worth giving up your entire life?
Well, and never seeing your
leaving
child
your
again?
Son Arthur at home with the grandparents.
Well, he really hated Arthur, didn't he?
He did hate Arthur.
And his name was Arthur Conan Doyle.
Oh my God, it makes sense.
He just wanted to start a new life with his wife and daughter, but not his son.
And
that's all he wanted.
And in the story Conan Doyle wrote, it was like, once upon a time, there was an awful captain who was a dick.
Why hasn't Daddy come home? Sheer luck.
There was some suggestion.
Sheer luck home.
Oh my God! Have I brought up in this that I realised relatively recently that my grandfather's name was Dr. John Watson?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good fact.
It is, isn't it? It's weird. Blows my mind. Yeah. Anyway.
Martin Freeman.
But it was him.
Yeah.
It doesn't look it, does it?
No.
It doesn't look
very
like my dead granddad, but he is. Pirates.
Yeah.
An attack by Riffians.
Ooh.
Riffio.
Not ruffians.
They were
not
ruffians. They threw imaginary food at them.
Apparently, they were active in the area. They're off Morocco, basically, Riffians.
And we're all off Morocco now.
But pirates would have looted it and they'd left
made
valuable items.
And made a mess.
Yeah, they're quite uncouth,
and had a scuffle.
Aren't they, pirates?
They are.
Yeah.
They are, famously.
They would have drawn at least 3 or 4 penises over the ship.
Well, they are men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Men at sea as
Did
well.
Did they draw any fat ladies? Anyway,
no
little tubby ladies.
Interestingly, no little tubby ladies were found.
It wasn't female pirates then.
No, it wasn't a small girl.
I used to draw, you know, those S's where you'd connect it up so it looked 3D. That's what I used to draw.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You went to school.
Yeah, we went to school.
No,
it doesn't always show, but we did go to school. A historian called John Gilbert Lockhart in 1925 surmised that Briggs went insane and slaughtered everybody. And then he had a meeting with Briggs' descendants and apologised.
Oh.
Because there was no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
There was no blood or anything.
No.
His sword was still in its sheath and didn't have any blood on
no.
it. So, yeah.
No.
So nonsense,
not having that.
Really. Another theory. Water spout.
Oh.
We're getting on to the natural phenomena.
I just imagine that was a trailer.
Water spout.
Water spout.
Starring Trevor Eve.
And we're back. So the other theory was... was because the lifeboat was missing.
Mm.
People have gone, why would the entire crew get into the lifeboat when the ship seems fine and then disappear?
Yep.
Yeah.
When they're miles away from shore. And so some people have suggested they tied themselves to the ship from the lifeboat because they thought something was going to happen or had happened.
Yes.
And then for some reason, because somebody had tied the knot incorrectly or whatever, drifted away, and then they couldn't catch up with the ship because the wind picked up again. A tragic image.
Yeah.
Mm. But so people have surmised several possibilities of what would have scared them off the ship.
Mm.
A water spout being one of them, which apparently is a natural phenomenon of presumably volcanic activity, just letting a pocket of water suddenly shoot up from the seabed. And if it had interacted with the pumps of the ship, it could have given a false impression that the vessel was taking on water more rapidly than it actually was. So they quickly all leave because they think it's sinking, and then come a cropper. That's one theory that still holds water.
Hey.
Rogue iceberg has been another one, which, considering they're near the Azores, really rogue iceberg.
Very rogue.
No one saw an iceberg.
That's the Jaws, the Revenge of icebergs.
Maverick iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, but it remains a theory, but it's rubbish, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Seaquake.
Ooh, seaquake.
Seaquake, DSV.
I always have seaquake for breakfast.
Could, of course, sufficient turbulence on the surface to damage parts of the Mary Celeste cargo, thus releasing noxious fumes, which led them to believe there was an imminent explosion.
Ooh.
So, because meths is flammable, they
thought... That would make me run away.
Shit, get in the lifeboat. People have gone, then why would, if you thought the ship was going to explode, why have you tethered yourself to it?
Yes, good point.
But maybe you go, well, because, you know, if it's going to explode, we're going to die if we're just on this small lifeboat in the middle of the ocean anyway.
Also, I assume that they would have comfortably all fit in one lifeboat.
Well,
how many of them were there?
So there were four Germans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three officers.
Yeah.
Why have I started on different hands? Three officers.
Did you go to school?
A captain.
Yeah.
A wife and a daughter.
So ten of them
in a yawl.
And a yawl is how big?
A yawl is approximately boat sized.
Right.
So I've not done the research on
a
yawl.
The child would have gone on the lap.
That's nine. I'm imagining a Titanic rowboat.
It's pretty big. I'm surprised your wife's parents didn't make you do some sort of mariner's test before you married into the family.
A mariner's test?
My wife
is from a naval family.
You had to do an exam.
No, I did not.
And but,
because I
things.
Told them about my scuba diving credentials, and they were quite happy.
They were like,
that.
He's in.
He gets the surface of the water, but from a different angle, you know. He comes at it. But we share the same interests.
It's lovely.
Mm. It's all about the meniscus people. I'll go with the outsider theories, just so we've got the full bag of theories.
Yep.
Giant squid.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That came and picked...
100%.
Picked 10 people off the deck one by one.
It could be like the book The Pirate Cruncher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to do two trips.
Two trips, then stole the boat and left.
Yeah.
Stole the boat, the captain's papers and navigational equipment, and then left.
Well, it's good. Got to know where you're going.
Yeah. So, and then aliens, because
why
aliens
not?
And Russians, because why not?
Why not?
You know, or Prussians back then, maybe.
Prussians. Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Or a final theory.
Oh.
Which is a play I wrote for AS Level Drama about the Mary Celeste.
Good grief.
And?
So, we didn't have a piece to perform for our AS level. So I was getting frustrated with the slow progress of our workshopping of bullshit. And so I went home and wrote a play in an evening and brought it in
Amazing.
The next day and we performed it. I played Captain Benjamin Briggs.
Of course.
Of course, because I wrote the fucking thing. And in that, it was like a horror.
Oh.
Spooky.
Oh.
So we found a shipwrecked man drifting out there in the sea, and he'd gone quite mad from drinking salt water and being desperate. And his paranoia and ramblings sent general fear amongst the crew of a curse and something going wrong.
Ooh.
And then one night, Sophia, my daughter, falls overboard and drowns.
Oh, no.
And everyone is now certain that there is some evil presence aboard this ship. And so they all get in the rowboat and decide to take their chances because the captain, me, goes mad, basically with grief, and refuses to leave the spot where his daughter died because he refuses to leave her alone.
Ooh.
And it is implied at the end that he jumps in after.
And what grade did you get?
I got an A.
Yeah!
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring it back?
It sounds good now.
Yeah,
I've said it
sounds great.
I think it'd be a great part for me. I think everyone else's parts were underwritten, if I remember rightly.
And will remain so.
Remain underwritten. they all had scenes together and I got monologues. That's how I remember it.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, which I stand by some of my research.
So,
it was pre-Wikipedia, so it was probably very poorly researched.
So what you were saying that was just an evil presence.
What? No, paranoia, I think.
Paranoia,
and
yes.
Then a tragic
paranoia
accident.
Would do it. I feel like paranoia is a good thing, good reason, not a good thing. But also, you know, what about, let's say the fumes did leak, and instead of being worried it would explode, they all got really paranoid from all the fumes and started, and then jumped off the ship because they were...
Is that what meth spumes?
I don't know.
The theory I've heard
from your experience.
I mean, you know that I'm very, very involved in drugs.
Yes,
of course. I wish you wouldn't be on here. Children might listen to this.
Really?
No, I don't know, but you never know.
Ruined it now.
Not your children.
No. Well, my children have listened to this.
Have they heard?
Yeah.
Well, are they going to hear you say no?
No, I'll cut it out.
Oh.
Okay. What have you heard?
I saw a documentary about this once, and they speculated that the fumes did indeed leak from the meths.
Right.
And exploded. But
I saw this. It was on Channel 5.
Yes.
So they recreated it.
Yes.
And it created a shockwave explosion that didn't leave any soot.
That's right. So, like a flashbang.
Yeah. So they thought... But
and didn't
what
damage
point
anything.
Did the crew leave in that?
I think they panicked and left immediately because they thought that there was going to be another explosion and it would take the whole ship with it. So they all jumped into the boat, and they also used the theory you mentioned about tying themselves onto the ship and then getting untied and lost at sea.
So whose fault was it that they were sailors who couldn't tie knots?
Because
that is sailors 101.
That's
you know how to tie knots, don't you? Yeah.
I think it was either Arian or Gottlieb.
How many can you tie knots? 9. Oh, we can tie 9.
No.
So, yeah, go for it.
I mean, we only need one.
Yeah.
Those are all rewrites that should go in the new play, by the way.
Yeah. 10 quid.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I think that's the solution.
Yeah.
I think if you were on a ship like that, full of alcohol, and there was a huge explosion, you'd want to leave immediately.
You probably would.
Yeah.
What about the taking on water? Do you think it got to 2 feet of water and they thought...
Yeah,
it's
where's the water come from?
Mm.
Like, but
and why hasn't it sank completely?
They all weed themselves.
Well, but after they got separated from the ship, it's possible, because it had been there for 9 days, it's possible it's been through a storm, gotten a bit shaken up, and then it's calmed down again.
Waves could have splashed on the top.
On the top?
Yeah.
They could have done that.
I mean, ships do take on a tiny bit of water anyway, don't they?
Yeah, that's why they've got a pump.
Yeah, exactly. So no one's been pumping it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just had a brand new refit. But maybe Winchester scrimped on some of the labour.
Maybe he put everything...
You can cut back to him in your play, saying, shall I do that? No, I won't bother.
Maybe he put all the money into the Hawaiian-themed bar. Yeah.
The Waikiki bar.
And the tiki hut, and no money into the pump or any other stuff.
You can have a pump, or you can have these Hawaiian-style goblets.
You can have these coconuts to drink from.
Coconuts, yeah. And we can all wear coconut bras.
Another callback there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a giant squid.
Giant squid.
Oh, yeah.
I like the giant squid idea.
So, then the only hole in your giant squid theory, what happened to the captain's papers and navigational equipment?
I think he was holding them when the squid came in.
Have you read The Pirate Cruncher?
No, I know what you're talking about.
That's brilliant. They find a man who says to them, I can take you to this buried treasure.
Yes.
and he gets on their ship with them, and they go out to sea, and it turns out it's a giant monster with like a glove puppet. And he lures them in and then eats them all.
So he's the Kraken, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the tentacle went through the window. He's got his stuff in his
hands.
The
window?
I don't know.
Porthole?
Porthole.
Yeah. Yeah, through the patio doors. And
I know ships. The Lido deck. And,
sure.
Cat flap. And then scooped him up and took him with all his stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Foolproof.
Yeah.
Find a hole in that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
or,
I can't.
I can present another theory. Have you seen the film The Thing?
I have seen The Thing.
One of them is a shape-shifting alien who presents paranoia throughout the entire ship.
Is the one set in the Arctic?
Yes. Arctic research.
Because my mum knew some people who were doing that job and then decided to watch The Thing one night. None of them, and then they were all too scared to go outside and put the generator off.
Cause... I'm not fucking surprised.
We got an email from an Arctic research station saying they listened to my old podcast when they... So in Film Fandango, my film podcast, they used to, because they didn't have internet, so they had to download all of their entertainment for the evenings, and then they'd sit around eating dinner listening to a podcast.
They might listen to this one.
They might do.
Don't go outside.
Don't go outside. There's aliens out there who turn into dogs.
And a giant squid.
I think it's the person to your left. Yeah, the monster.
You've never trusted them, have you?
The one with the eyebrows. Can't do eyebrows.
I think we nailed it.
So you think it's a squid?
I think it's a squid.
I'm going to go with squid.
Yeah.
Boy, it was just big squid.
Yeah.
Squid wins. Thank you very much for listening. So, by the way, say you're in the middle at this moment of writing a book about the Mary Celeste.
Yes.
Just bin it.
Mary Celeste.
I thought Conan Doyle called it the Mary.
He
was the Mary.
Oh, other way around. Okay. Yeah. You're writing a book about the Mary.
Mary Celeste, like Marie Claire.
Yeah. If you're writing Mary Claire,
Mary Claire Celeste. Spin it.
Mary Claire Antoinette.
Yes.
It does.
That's the mystery for next week.
Great.
Good. Well, thank you very much for listening. The podcast is at All Rather Pod. I'm at Mr. Ken Shabby. He's at Mr. David Reed. And the cat's mother is at Eleanor Morton. And we'll see you next week for the final episode of Series 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I got cabin fever!
I got cabin fever, it's burning in my brain.
I got the cabin fever, it's driving me insane.
We got cabin fever, we're flipping our bandanas. Been stuck at sea so long that we have simply gone bananas.
We got cabin fever, we lost what sense we had. We got cabin fever, we're all going mad.
Grab your partners by the ears, lash them to the wheel.
Do-si-do, step on the cold, listen to them squeal. Great big owl.